Good morning. If you'll turn with me this morning to the book of James, we will be continuing through this book today in chapter 5. Chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. You'll read with me in the New King James Version. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. If you'll pray with me. Dear Father, we come before this word, your word, this morning. And I am bursting with joy to be able to present it, and also somewhat terrified. As I read through it, Father, the depth of your word is far beyond my comprehension. And so I ask that you would not allow me this morning to rely upon my notes, no more than to keep my attention on your word as I present it this morning. Help the listeners of your word be listeners of your word today. I ask we would humble ourselves before you and before what you have spoken, and that we would learn to live it out so that we may glorify you in preparation for your coming, Father. I pray these things for your glory, for the building up of your church. I pray these things in your name. Amen. All right, so we are reading James chapter 5, 7 and 8. And immediately, we are looking at a therefore. Whenever we start a passage, when we start a sermon off with the term therefore, it is immediately clear that we have no idea what we're talking about, until we understand what the therefore is there for. And so this leads us to recall Kevin's sermon on James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. What was discussed in those verses were the rich. And so I'm going to reread again what I've just read to you. I'm going to read verses 1 to verses 8. We're going to read this again. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have heaped up treasure in the last days. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, cry out, and the cries of the reapers have reached the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. You have lived on the earth in pleasure and luxury. You have fattened your hearts as in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the just. He does not resist you. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So very briefly, I will summarize my message for you today. We will be looking at two types of people in the church. It's very important for us to remember that the audience that this book was written to, that this letter was written to, is the church. He addresses the church in chapter 5. He addresses the rich in the church. He addresses the poor in the church. And what's very interesting, what he's really addressing more than riches, is he's addressing relationships. As we've seen from chapter 2 of James, he refers to not holding the faith of our Lord Christ in partiality. He's talking about how they regard the rich better than the poor. So it's important that what we're looking today, when we look at the fattened heart and the established heart. We will be focusing on that today. We will be focusing on the fattened heart versus the established heart. And what God calls us to do today is be patient in light of the coming of the Lord. For the coming of the Lord is at hand. James addresses the church. Those within the church either have a fattened heart or they have an established heart. And we are called to the same thing. For Matthew tells us that Christ will clear his threshing floor. We are told in verse 9 that the judge is standing at the door. So we're going to go back now in light of looking at the fattened heart first. So we are going to go to, we've looked at chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. We've seen how James gives probably one of the most stark, one of the greatest rebukes that I've read in Scripture, saying, "Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries that are coming upon you. Your riches are corrupted and moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire." This is remarkably judgmental. We know that he speaks to, this may be a cultural issue where there are rich in the culture that have more power than they ought to have. They're able to drag the poor into the courts and unjustly accuse them of anything and have them condemned. And James is seeing this in the church. In chapter 2, he says, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has not God chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor man. Do not the rich oppress you and drag you into the courts? Do they not blaspheme that noble name by which you are called?" James calls out in chapter 2 saying that by giving the poor man preference, giving the rich man preference, we have become judges with evil thoughts. We, the church, have become judges with evil thoughts when we are giving preference to those within the body, more to one person more than the other. Again, this is more about relationship than riches. James calls out, he doesn't call out to them and say, because you have stuff, you're evil. It's because you hoard stuff, because you love your stuff more than you love your brother, more than you love those who work for you, more than you love Christ. You hold his salvation with partiality when you love someone in the church more than another unjustly. You have become a judge with evil thoughts. You are building a fattened heart. You are hoarding what you love, and you are loving the world more than God. You are showing this in one primary work. When you do not love your brother as yourself, when you do not sacrifice yourself for your brother, you are fattening your heart. So we've determined that this is a problem in the church that James is addressing, these fattened hearts. And it's showing that these men with their fattened hearts, and this can be applied to us very easily, how we hoard what we love, how we love the world more than our brother. So be careful. I don't know that many of us are rich here today. We may not relate this to ourselves. We may not understand how this is applicable. But James calls out their relationship with one another and how they hold back. And Kevin brought out the Proverbs, and when you have something for a man and you do not give it to him when he needs it, it is sin. In that same way with your brother, if you are withholding what they need, you are sinning against them. So that's one heart that James is talking to. He's talking to the fattened heart, and the response to the fattened heart is repent. It's repentance. And he's also speaking to the The fattened heart is the person who is an oppressor in the church. And there are also those who are oppressed by those who show partiality. They are oppressed by those that have more sway, more power than them. They are being used by them. And James says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. And just a second here. So we're looking at how those within the church are rich, and they have fattened their hearts. They have deemed those within the church lower than them, and so they treat them as beneath them. We know that the Lord of hosts is higher than they are. We know that the Lord of hosts is good, and he will, of course, love the oppressed man and take care of him. And in verse 7, we're told, therefore, in light of this condition, in light of the unjust culture and in light of the unjust circumstances within your church, he says, brethren, be patient until the coming of the Lord. And it can be a little bit, I'm not sure what he's saying here. You know, you've talked about how the rich need to weep and howl for the misery that is coming upon them. They have sinned greatly in what they have done. Okay, so call out judgment to them. Why would you talk to us and say, be patient? And a bit of clarity comes into mind when you consider the word patient is the same thing as long-suffering. He says, you suffer. Therefore, long-suffer, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. So we've gained the context of this verse today, the environment that we're working in. But now we need to understand, how do we long suffer? What's the nature of this long suffering? How do we prepare for this long suffering? How do we act within it? And his first example, he says, within this unjust environment in which you live, where there is enmity between you and your brother, be long-suffering, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Be forever long-suffering. And there is more depth to this here in a moment with the coming of the Lord. But consider, be long-suffering forever, until the coming of the Lord. For as long as you are, suffer long with one another. And how do we suffer long? Well, he continues. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So we are now given explanation. We are to suffer long like this farmer suffers long. We are to suffer long by establishing our hearts. So initially, let's look at the farmer. We see that the farmer waits. How does he wait? He prepares his field. The farmer doesn't wait for the rain in just hopelessness. Just, I've got this land. I threw some seeds on it. And that kind of took me some work and I'm kind of tired. I'm just going to hope. I'm going to trust God that this is going to work out. I'm going to have a crop and things are going to be good. Now, the farmer suffers long. The farmer works and waits and deals with the harsh weather. He works every day to tend to his fields, to know his trade. He works continually until God brings the rain. That is how he suffers long. We do not suffer long aimlessly. We suffer long in establishing our hearts. We must establish our hearts in our patience. In light of the suffering that this church is enduring, both as we know immediately in reading this book, with the dispersion, the scattered abroad, the dispersed, they are dealing with persecution from one another within their culture. We are told to suffer long we suffer long in establishing our hearts. And a great example of what does that mean? Because there's many passages in the Word of God that are going to help us understand other passages of the Scripture. And that's extremely valid, extremely important. But today I really want to stay in the book of James to express, to do the best I can to express, well, what do we think James means and what he's presented so far in establishing our hearts? What has James presented that would be counter a fattened heart? You know, a heart that clings to its own end, that desires its own glory. The heart that looks at, I am better than you. What are some examples of this? Well, we can go back to James 1, 18 to 26. And I'll be reading some of the verses in here. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creation. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Now, I will continue in these verses for a moment here. We're just going to focus on these for a moment. I wanted to read 18 so we'd understand the context of so then. Of his own will, he brought us forth. This is what you are made for. He brought us forth by the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We are to produce the fruit of the Spirit. We are to be salt and light of the earth. We are to be like Christ. And he says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We are looking at what does an established heart look like? Well, an established heart needs to be established in the Word of God. And James gets specific here, and he says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. Now, this is very relational within the church. The context of this seems primarily working toward one another. Be swift to listen to one another. But also consider, I just want us to consider very practically, are we swift to listen to the Word of God? I mean listen. Because I work in customer service. Part of that job, I have taken training more than once on how to listen. Part of that training, one of the number one key element on how to listen is, can you not think about whatever you're wanting to think about, but solely think about what someone else is saying and then come back with a summary of what they've said in your own words? Can you do that with a sermon on Sunday morning? Can you do that with your morning devotional an hour later? This is what I've read. This is what God wants me to know. I can say it because I listen. And that's a practical thing. That's a practical recommendation. That's not a strictly biblical thing that I'm bringing out. But I mean to make that point because we need to be swift to listen to one another. We need to also be swift to listen to the Word of God because we were brought forth by it to be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. We need to be established. And then he says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Awesome. The word of God. It is what we are dependent on, and it is what we ought to listen to. I've just made the remarks, we ought to listen to the word of God. We ought to be able to understand it and be able to say, this is what it says. Because I have read it, because I have listened to it at the pulpit in my devotion. I've listened. But James says, but. It's important. We must listen. We must be quick to hear. But be doers of the word. We need to be active like the farmer. He prepares his field. The farmer prepares his field. He tills the ground. He plants the seed. How do we do that as Christians? In our long suffering, in our waiting for the rain, in our waiting for the coming of the Lord, how do we prepare the field? James says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. When someone says, do not be deceived, and it's the word of God saying, do not be deceived, we should probably listen, because how do you know if you're deceived? If you're deceived, you're deceived. So we need to really listen. What is he saying? We need to listen here with meekness, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word of God, because he's saying you could be deceived right now. So humble yourself before this scripture. Trust in this word, because this is what will pull you out of deception. So we need to listen to this now. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. A doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. So we're able to listen. We're able to reiterate what we have heard. But do we actually have a daily devotional? Are we actually doers of the word? When he says, weep and howl, when he says, when the word of God tells us to bring right sacrifices before the Lord, that is a broken and a contrite heart over our sin, when the word of God tells us to love your brother as yourself, to be swift to hear and slow to speak, are we a doer in that? Or do we simply come away, I really liked what I read today. It was good. Or I really liked this sermon. It was great. It really had a great point. We need to love one another. We need to be loving one another. We need to be swift to hear and slow to speak. That is a command. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. That is, we need to be implementing that daily, continually, for the sake of one another. Remember, this is written to the church for the building up of the church. And so this is another example of how we can establish our hearts. We listen to one another and to the word of God. And we do the word of God. We are doers of the word of God. For in the same way that James tells us that faith without works is dead, that is a sure thing that you will act in a way in which your heart is, your actions toward one another will fall into a camp of being a fattened heart, or it will be an established heart. It's very clear. You either live for yourself or you live for God. You have no other choice. And an established heart is one that listens to the word of God and is one that does the word of God. There's no other option. You can't kind of obey the word of God. You can't kind of love your brother, kind of listen to your brother. You must establish your heart in this injustice. You must establish your heart in the suffering by doing the word of God, by being obedient to the word of God. Now, why? There's more why than just be patient forever. But be patient, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now James brings weight. He intends to bring weight to his expression in saying, be patient. You who are oppressed and you who are an oppressor, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And as I've previously stated, Christ, the Son of God, will clear his threshing floor. He will separate the wheat from the chaff, and he will burn it with unquenchable fire. Christ will come, and he will judge your heart, whether it is fattened or whether it is established in his word, daily, living out, whether it is established in his word. He will judge that. And he says, in a means to encourage us, if we go down to grab a little bit more context of Dad will be covering verses 9, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. So we know he is referring to judgment. The judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. So we look at this passage, and we must determine where our heart is. Because of this day of judgment will either result in weep and howl for the miseries that are coming upon you, or it will be see that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. It will be one of the two. And we are either hoarding for ourselves what we want for our glory, or we are establishing our hearts for our love of who is very compassionate and who is very merciful. For he has set us apart to be a kind of first fruits of his creation. He has set us apart to be the salt and the light of this earth, to be brothers and sisters of one another. We have two options. But they feel a lot less like options when you realize terms like do not be deceived. You don't know if you're deceived. So read the word of God. You don't know if you're deceived. Read the word of God. Are you deceived? Do you have a fattened heart? Or are you established in the word of God? Are you established as a child of God? Because if you are established as a child of God, we know that in all suffering, we can suffer long. Because God is compassionate and he is merciful. And he is Lord of hosts. Whatever suffering by any man, by any brother in the church, we can suffer long, we can suffer till eternity, because the Lord means it for good. We are told the Lord means it for good. We know. He says that, my brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed. They are blessed. The word of God says you are blessed, you who suffer. We must listen to this, that when you suffer long, you are blessed in the Lord. So suffer longer. And you should, how should you suffer? You should suffer while establishing your heart in the word of God and believe the word of God in saying, you will be blessed. We need to hold on to the truths of the word of God. We will be blessed. We are blessed in our suffering. So any trials that we are facing, any temptation that we suffer under, we need to realize the word of God tells us we are blessed in this. And when your brother persecutes you, suffer long. Suffer long and obey the word of God by treating one another in love, by treating one another without partiality. Without partiality. We do not look at one another and hold one in higher esteem than the other because of personal preference. We are to love one another solely because Christ died for them. That is the love that we are required of one another. We love one another as a brother and sister in Christ, for they died on their behalf. And we look at them as saved in Christ. We look at them as a child of God. So that's what I implore you all to consider today. Where your heart is, in light of how you treat one another. And to consider in your suffering in this, to suffer longer. Establish your hearts in the Word of God by listening, by habitually working out your salvation through fear and trembling, actually doing so. Not a, I did this one thing today, so I'm good, but a literal, experimental, daily, constant, living out, reading, needing to know, am I deceived? Needing to know, what does the Word of God mean? Where is my heart? Will the coming of the Lord, when Christ comes and clears his threshing floor, will it be that my heart is fattened, chaff, that will be burned with unquenchable fire, which the Lord of God says will burn all the better the more that you have hoarded? Or will we suffer with our lack? Will we suffer with an environment we don't prefer? Will we suffer with a brother that we are called to love who is just awful? Because if we do, it shows our heart before the coming of the Lord. We must depend upon this word, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Christ will clear his threshing floor. The coming of the Lord is at hand, so trust in his word. Love one another as Christ loves you without partiality. If you'll pray with me. Dear Father, I ask that this word would go out to the listeners today, Father, and it would be edifying for those who are here. I ask that you would glorify your name in our daily living, that you would help us to consider who we are, that you have set us forth to be a kind of first fruits of your creation. You've set us apart, Father, to be holy as you are holy. I ask, Father, that you would give us grace to remember this so that we would not be deceived, Father, in searching for our own riches, but we would search for your self, Father. We would search for you. And that this would show toward one another as an act of daily living. I pray these things in your name and in the Son of God. Amen.